Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Introducing myself, I'm also known as Andy Hunt's wife. We have been married now for 10 years. We have two children, Judah, who's 5, and Olive, who's 2, nearly 3. We have 2 dogs and 4 chickens, and the chickens are the most important thing, because the chickens are actually laying eggs. And that was a big relief for me, because I thought, when I get to that stage, if my chickens don't lay eggs, I've got no idea how to do it, which will be really disappointing if I have chickens without eggs. But good. So I'm an occupational therapist as my background. I have been doing that now for nearly 9 years, and I love it, and I love that looking back over it now, I can see that God put me in that job for how he made me, for my personality, and it blesses me so much to be in that role. Who am I related to? I think that's important as well. Skye, the pink hair, nice voice, she's my sister. Cam, you will have seen him sometimes up on stage doing a bit of music as well, singing, and up the back, he's my brother. My mum, she's been up stage as well, she does singing too. I have an older brother, not many people know that, so when you see him, if you actually do meet him, don't say, oh, I didn't know Cass didn't have an older brother, because he said that to me so many times. I think, oh, he is important to me. I have an older brother. And you might also know that Andy sings, is, you know, into music stuff as well. His family are as well. So I'm sure now your next question is, can Cass sing? Yes, I can. I'm not tone deaf, but it's not where I'm at. I know when I married into the Hunt family that there was a bit of pressure, and I knew that I wasn't going to live up to that. I offered them to play the triangle for them in their band, but they never took me up on that offer. So I was lucky. I was let off the hook. I do love singing. I think it's such a beautiful way to be able to worship God, and challenged by the words that we actually say. But I don't feel that's at all what God's called me to do, and I'm completely okay with that. Saying that, if he ever changes that, I'm happy to follow what he wants me to do. A little snippet of my history. In the year 2000, I changed high schools halfway through year 11. On the recommendation from one of my friends that I grew up with, and they weren't Christians at all, but they'd recommended the school and said it was a good one to go to. So halfway through, I switched over. I remember leaving my friends at my old high school, knowing that I was going to a Christian school, saying, don't worry, I won't get converted. And I was so set on that. And then I think in 2001, so just 1 year later, I said to God, I'll give you a go. I'm happy to give you a go. You have to prove to me that you're real, though. And that was pretty much the conviction, conversion, whatever you want to call it, that I had. And I suppose, you know, starting something new like Christianity for me, I had a lot of expectations of what it would be like. I had expectations about what Christians were going to be like, and what God was going to be like. But I was pleasantly surprised that they weren't like that. It wasn't just a bunch of people who blindly believed in the Bible. They were my friends. I love that they never fit the mold that I expected them to be in at all. And I loved that as I took the time out and I did some courses like the Alpha course, and I listened to some of the stuff from the Christian Science guys, and then along with like my own sort of intimate times with God, I was able to see that God was real, that he loved me, and that he exposed me to a deeper level of myself that I ever thought was possible. So my testimony, Chris had asked me originally to share it, and said, share something inspiring and encouraging, and that didn't feel like pressure at all. And I actually, like, I love it, and it made me think. I had a conversation with Chris after it, and I said what a lovely process it was for me to be able to share my testimony, because for me to actually sit down and try and put into words what was actually important or what I was trying to convey to you guys, but also understanding my heart, was a beautiful process to go through. And I know for our life group, we did that all last year. Everyone shared their testimony, and it was just it really grew us and developed us into a nice cohesive group. And it was really clarifying. So I encourage you, life groups, whatever, share your testimonies. So the words that came to me when I started thinking about sharing my testimony were around expectations and disappointment, which I found quite funny at the time, because I'm generally like a glass half full type of person. So when God put those specific words on my heart, I thought I better just check the dictionary to find out what they mean and what God was wanting me to share in that time. So dictionary meanings: expectations are a strong belief that something will happen or be the case. It's an assumption, a prediction, a calculation, an anticipation of something looked forward to, whether it feared or hoped for. Expectations can determine your involvement, your attitude. It's your opinion, your interpretation of the facts, a view that you hold, or a judgment you make formed upon probabilities and past experiences. Disappointment is a sadness or displeasure caused by the non-fulfillment of one's hopes or expectations. So, my expectations of God. I expect that my Creator, the one who made me, loves me. And if he stood at my door and knocked for so long, he must have really wanted me. I also learned to expect and trust that Jesus has removed my sins as far as the east is from the west, and that I'm a new creation in him, that the old has passed away. These are the foundations of my faith that God built on, and I'm so grateful they're the foundations that he built on. I love that even though I've been a believer now for 16 years, God has never and will never stop growing me. I love the process. And over the last year, I feel like I've been able to get a key understanding about myself that has brought clarity in a lot of areas. And that's what I hope tonight that you would find encouraging and inspiring. I realized that although I knew that my beautiful God accepted me for who I was, as I was, even in my beautiful, messy, uncontrolled, dirty toilets, greasy hair, point in life that is early motherhood, I would sometimes feel unusable by God because I wasn't good enough yet. You might relate to feeling unusable by God from past shame or guilt about poor decisions or even laziness. What renders me unusable at times is I've felt the weight of responsibility, making sure that I give a true representation of God to whoever crosses my path. I feel that the pressure that I needed to work harder to improve myself, study the Bible more, which for me it sometimes felt like it was written in another language, was a never-ending thing. You were never going to achieve in that. The funny thing, though, through all of that, was that I never felt condemned by God. I knew that he accepted me as I was, no matter what had happened in my life. Not being good enough yet was more about never being good enough to do his work that he calls me to do. And not doing God's work meant that I was letting people down by missed opportunity or my own struggles getting in the way of helping others. I knew that there was consequences for my actions, and I could handle that because that was between me and God. But the absolute worst thing that anyone has ever or could ever say to me, or even implied, I could have even implied that they'd said to me, was that they were disappointed in me. I remember those moments when you're little kids and your parents will say to you, "Cassie, I expected more from you. When you lied, I was so disappointed." And I thought about that, and I understand that you can feel disappointed in your kids or disappointed in yourself, or your husband can feel disappointed in you. But it was about the fact that it hurt me more, because it was more about not just my actions, it was about me as a person, that I felt that it cut to the core and made me feel I was unusable. I realised that things that people had said in my past, which they'd said with no malice at all, I was holding like a banner over my head. And disappointment in not being good enough is crippling for me. I've always felt that I've had a lot to live up to. Am I good enough to be Andy's wife? Is he going to be disappointed that I can't do music? Will his parents be disappointed, especially Deb? Will she be disappointed for the fact that all I can cook for her beautiful son is baked beans on toast and it's no glamorous food? Is how I represent God and our church, is that good enough? Can I raise children who love God even though I didn't know any VeggieTales and I don't know any of the Christian Bible songs? God has put in me a character which is a glass half full perspective, and that's what's always driven me, that things can always be better and that there's always something that I can do to make them better. And this is usually a positive perspective, and it definitely is in my workplace, a positive perspective that things can be made better. But for me personally, when I thought about myself and who I was not yet good enough, and I could never be good enough. And who knows that that mindset is an uphill battle. And it is absolutely not what God is saying about you or I as his precious children. The scriptures that he has, that he speaks such beautiful words for us in the Bible, taught me to just be so much more gentler with myself. And thankfully, I'm not like that anymore. I have in the past doubted myself often, and I've learned that my doubts are what gets in the way of my faith in God. And just as much as I can't let my doubts get in the way, I can't look to people to qualify whether I'm good enough as a wife, as a mother, as a representation of God. God qualifies me for my future he has planned for me and called me to do. He prepares me, and if I keep focused on him, I'll continue to learn how to grow how he wants me to be. God's only expectation of us is to trust him and depend upon him. I want you to know that your story, your journey, will never render you useless. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves that we were born into a broken, sinful world, which means we will make bad choices, that bad circumstances will happen to us, and that we will disobey God time and time again. That we'll choose our own way over God's way, and we will think that we're smarter and wiser than God at times. We are human. And we need salvation through Jesus. And he uses us all our good bits and our bad bits. We need to daily remind ourselves that what Jesus has done for us when he went to the cross and rose again is a crazy beautiful thing. Jesus took all my bad bits when he was on the cross under all of the weight of our sin. And then 3 days later, God rolled away the stone of Jesus' tomb, and it showed that he wasn't there anymore. In fact, he'd risen. And he rolled away our reproach. That means all of our disapproval or disappointment, which separated us from a relationship with God. The stone wasn't rolled away to let Jesus out, but to let us in. That through Christ we can now approach God in any state. And I remind myself, I sometimes stand in front of God with my food-stained clothing, my holy Ugg boots, my hair still up in a ponytail, even though I've taken the elastic out because it's that greasy, and I've got a cup of tea in my hand, and that's the time I get to spend with God, and he wants me to come to him like that. He wants me to come no matter how I am, no matter what's been going on in my day. And that is such a beautiful thing. So why did I choose to share this as my inspiring and encouraging testimony? I want you to know that God so, 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 so loves you just the way you are. That right now in the messy middle, you have a calling and to trust him, and he will produce in our lives what pleases him. That if you have a heaviness of guilt, shame, or feeling you fall short of what someone has expected of you or what you think God expects of you, I want you to know that even that doesn't separate you from God. That you can still approach him. God only expects us to trust him and depend upon him. So, with that end, there's a song that has been on my mind that I asked Andy if he could do. So it's a goodie and I've got. The song is called You Call Me Beautiful. And it's how our God looks at us. And it takes me back to when I first realised that God actually loved me, which is a crazy point to come to, I think, in all of our relationship with God. And I love that this song brings us back to that point, because it almost feels like a memory peg moment, which to go back to that over and over again as you walk, and you know that, you know, things are going hard, but I can come back to that point that that's when I realized you loved me, God, and you accepted me for how I was. So it was it's a beautiful moment. And I just felt that it was so appropriate for my testimony, and also for the testimonies of the people who are sharing their baptism with us today. So sit back and have a listen and know he loves you.